What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Rise. Wake up.
It's time to wake on up.
Wake up.
With a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
All right, good morning, everyone. What's going on? Happy Friday to all. If it's a payday for you, congratulations. It is over here, and I'm feeling really, really good. Evan Giddings in for Joe Spadoni with Joe Shasky, Carter Loveman in the back, holding it down for you here on the roast, and we got somewhat of a bombshell piece of information just about 5 minutes ago from Sam Amick of The Athletic that I want to get you right after we talk to Bobby Evans, former general manager of the San Francisco Giants and an advisory role with the team right now. It has to do with Jonathan Kuminga, and I think it is very, very interesting. So that's what's coming up in just a little bit.
Wow.
Lotta Hill at 9 o'clock as well.
Wow.
I mean, That's what I'll tease. It is something that I think we've all been kind of wondering about and ruminating on as far as numbers go. And it's interesting because we just had the MLB trade deadline, and it's basically trade season and the hot stove season for the NBA right now. The Warriors and this Kuminga thing just won't ever end.
Is this verified? Like Sam Amick, and we're going.
I'm hitting up Amick right now to see how real this is.
Okay. You're gonna
the update
it?
We saw was not.
It is
from
real.
Amick.
No. It is
it
from
was
Amick.
Mentioned it was
it,
from Amick.
It
so
is
yeah.
From Sam Amick of The Athletic. The article is right in front of me. We will get into that in just a moment.
Okay.
It is confirmed.
And the report's on there. Okay. Wow. I mean,
no, it is published on the New York Times.
Why don't you just say it right now? What it is, and then we'll get right back into it. For those that haven't listened. Warrior fans out there, you want some sort of conclusion with Jonathan Kuminga and the Warriors. What does it say on The Athletic? Sam Amick, who's a very respected writer.
All right. The Warriors earlier this week, team sources say they've offered the Kings have offered a three-year $63 million deal for Kuminga in a proposal that would send veteran guard Malik Monk and their 2030 first-round pick lottery protected to the Warriors. And the Warriors insisted the first-rounder be unprotected, so they turned it down. We'll get back to that in just a moment.
This is never going to end.
In just a moment.
It's never going
to
end.
Because we do have to chat right now. Sam, do we have him? All right, we got him. We got to chat with Bobby Evans. All guests appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Bobby Evans, former general manager of the San Francisco Giants, with the team in an advisory role right now. Bobby, thank you so much for joining us here on The Roast. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good to be with you.
Well, obviously, a lot happened in the last 48 hours for the San Francisco Giants, with them sending Tyler Rogers to the New York Mets, Camilo Doval to the New York Yankees, and Mike Yastrzemski to the Kansas City Royals. As someone who has had to be in those war rooms, make those kinds of decisions, what is deadline day like? I mean, take us through it, whether it comes down to the wire, you know, how much you're looking at in advance. What is trade deadline day for a general manager?
Well, trade deadline day is probably the most chaotic of all of the lead up to it, but there's a lot of chaos in advance too. I mean, there's so much prep that has to be done to know your system, so you know who you can give up without, you know, putting yourself at any disadvantage in a deal, but also knowing the system of other organizations, so that if you're forced to sell, you're able to bring in good talent to the organization. So there's so much prep work, but the adrenaline, you know, is highest on the final day, of course, and there's so many deals, as you saw, that get done at the very end, and I always wonder why can't these deals have been done, you know, 2 hours earlier or 2 days earlier, but for some reason, just the adrenaline of all these teams at the last minute, you know, we're trying to plug in the final elements of a deal 4 minutes before the deadline yesterday. And so I give our guys credit because, you know, they have to stay calm in the midst of the chaos. And but it's an exciting day, but it is, I describe it as a very stressful day because there's so much that goes on and so many elements that you can't control, but you know, as you saw it, you know, a lot got done in the game. It was very much of a exciting deadline, I think, for baseball.
Yeah, and for the Giants as well. And I don't want you to give away too many of the secrets, but like when you're out there and your team is kind of oscillating between, hey, do we stand pat? Do we buy? Do we sell, or I call it more building? Do we build for the future? How early do these talks, one way or the other, get going? And at what point do you think you have to choose a direction? Because it feels like a lot of this happened really quick for the San Francisco Giants. You know, how early do these talks get going, one way or the other? And does your current record really impact how rushed some of these decisions can be leading up to the deadline?
Well, I think that when you're a team, you know, you know, you're looking at the standings of other teams, and you're careful to reach out to teams, you know, that are either if they're clearly selling, you don't have any, you know, any hesitation. But when a club is kind of in that middle ground, you have to be very careful, you know, and you just call and you inquire. You know, you got Buster and Zach and Jeremy kind of manning the phones, and they're calling, inquiring about, hey, you know, what are you guys looking to do? And that's when a team will tell you, hey, we think we're gonna move these guys, or we're considering these options. And I think that Zach and Buster were getting those kind of calls about our guys, and they, you know, they were, you know, they're couching it as, you know, if we decide to move, this is what we'll need, you know, and so you kind of prepare the, you know, kind of what a deal might look like. But I think that, yeah, I think it is hard when, you know, when you're in that gray area. I think in many ways, you know, the way the club's played the last month, it's become less gray. And I think that, you know, ultimately, as hard as it is to try to build for the future, it's necessary sometimes to be able to read kind of where the club's at. And it has been a rough stretch here. And it doesn't mean at the same time we can't turn it around. We just have to, you know, have to do it with different people in those roles. So
Bobby Evans joining us here on the Morning Roast, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Bobby, it's the million-dollar question, and I got to ask you, because we've all been trying to figure out what's going on, and Buster himself, it sounded, I don't know if it's confused, or certainly there's frustration that builds over this six-week period of bad baseball, but I got to ask you, what do you think happened over the last 6 weeks?
Well, I know that we're seeing a lot of teams, and we've been there before too. I mean, that All-Star break, you know, somehow, you know, you want to come out hot, and you know, we've come out cold before, and it's a very helpless feeling. I think that, you know, scoring guys, you know, scoring, we're getting guys on base, but we're not bringing them home, and, you know, not hitting well with runners in scoring position. And we've seen Adames really get it going here, and we've got to get more than one guy going. We got to get multiple guys going. And, you know, the bottom half of our lineup has really struggled too. And that puts a lot of pressure on the top of the lineup, which actually, you know, gives your starting pitcher ability to pitch around some of your better guys, because there's not as much to damage down below. So you know that if you can get through the top top of the order, you can get the bottom of the order out, and it really puts some pressure offensively on our top of our order. And I feel like that there's no explanation I can give you for this other than to say that it's been really disappointing, and yet at the same time, there's a lot.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
A lot there to work with, and so we've got to find a way to, you know, put ourselves back in a position, you know, looking ahead to win these close games and hopefully, you know, be more aggressive offensively than we have been. And I feel like that, you know, there's never been, I don't know if there's ever been a harder, you know, lineup or harder, you know, challenge with the pitching in the game today. I mean, there's just so much movement to these guys' stuff. There's so much velocity. I feel like that these hitters have a lot to contend with, but yet, you know, we feel like we've got the right guys in the right position. We do have to find ways to deepen our lineup, and I think that's part of our challenge right now.
Bobby, what are you guys going to do in right field? You know, with Mike Yastrzemski getting traded away, he was a very good Giant, and I know it was a difficult decision for a variety of reasons, but if you had to take a stab at some of the names that we might see out there, who do you think it is over the next couple of months?
Well, I think we'll look at everybody in the system that, you know, has not yet come up. Even Gilbert, who we just traded for, I think could be in the consideration at some point to get some at bats. But I think more recently we've got Encarnacion going through rehab, and he'll come back and face lefties. But McCray, you know, has had a good season, so we'll probably get a chance to see him sooner than later. Again, we've got Luciano's had a really good run against lefties this last month, and so I hopefully we'll get a chance to see more of him. I think we'll get a chance to see a little bit of everybody now, and so I think that's going to be important for the future.
One more for you, Bobby, from me. It's just, what is the goal for the team now, the remaining 2 months of the season? I know that the front office sent a message, and the team, understandingly so, kind of discussed Chapman, Webb, the captains, that they didn't do enough for the front office to be buyers at the deadline and got off of a couple players. But from your perspective, having been in this position, now back with the team, what do you think the goal should be over these last 2 months?
I mean, you want to win every game you can. So, you know, everything is about, you know, putting a great product on the field day in and day out. I mean, we have high expectations, and I think one of the best ways to finish these last 2 months is play winning baseball. I think the there is going to be opportunity, though, for us to see some of the young arms, to see some of the young position players, which is very important. And I think that, you know, we'll now have a chance to do that. You don't have, you can't call up an entire 40-man roster, so you can only call up, you know, so many guys. And so it won't be, you know, necessarily as many as you'd like to see, but you'll get to see a good number of them here in the last 2 months. And I think that'll be an important part of it. But I think, you know, Buster's message is we need to play winning baseball, and whether we're, you know, in a race or we're, you know, edging our way out of a race, we've got to play winning baseball. So I think that's the expectation of the staff, of the players, you know. And I think that, you know, when you see two incredibly great Giants from the relief corps leave, as well as longest-termed Giant in Yaz, it feels like a gut punch perhaps to that clubhouse, but at the same time, they still have a job to do, and there's guys coming in to replace them that, you know, will do their best to try to contribute. And I think they have to focus on winning baseball, and there's no better way to start next season than to finish strong this year. So hopefully we can do that, and even with a little less, you know, weapons in the clubhouse.
I got you, Bobby. Well, thank you for giving us some clarity, taking us behind the scenes, revealing kind of what goes down and what this team may be looking for down the home stretch. We really appreciate your time, and thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I appreciate it. And I will say just real quick, you know, we lost a great Giant recently in Bill Newcomb. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that when Bill came in, you know, he sat down with Brian and I and Jeremy and Dick Tidrow, and he was very big on, hey, let's, you know, look at the process. I know decisions matter, but look at the process and how can we improve the process? And I feel like that Bill, you know, made a huge contribution to us in helping us look deeper at our process. And having watched the process that I'm seeing Zach and Buster go through, I really feel like they've done a great job, you know, building a process that should lead to really strong and great decisions for the organizations going forward. So I think there's a lot to look forward to. And I just want to mention Bill in this because he's such a big part of our success. So
absolutely.
Well said.
We're going to miss him. So.
Yeah, well said. I hope you and your family are doing well. Did your boys play summer ball, Bobby?
Oh, yeah. My little guy was playing in the 11U Pony League.
Oh, nice. A little Donnie Jr.?
Yeah, the SFYBL, yeah. All-Stars, little Jackson, and he had a fun summer with a great team, and we got to zone in the West Coast and didn't advance, but it was fun.
Yeah, Willie and Donnie were coaching with Gerald. That was a good group of boys. Congratulations to them. Enjoy the rest of your summer, and thanks for coming on, Bobby.
All right, thank you, guys.
Good
seeing
you, buddy.
Bobby Evans with the San Francisco Giants helping us wrap up the trade deadline here on 95.7 The Game, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. All right, Evan Giddings in for Joe Spadoni, Joe Shasky. Baseball talk done and out of the way.
Flamingo Crisis!
I just can't.
You guys built a sounder for that?
Wait, you haven't heard that yet?
No!
Play it again.
Flamingo Crisis!
I love seeing everyone's reaction to it the first time.
It's the best. It also shows how much people don't listen to this station.
All right. Well, we do have a little bit of a bombshell that was dropped about, I would say, 20 minutes ago. Came out right before the beginning of the hour from Sam Amick of The Athletic, who, by the way, is going to join us at 8:30 to help really break down all of this. But I want to read a little bit from the piece for those that haven't had a chance to glean it on The Athletic, and we're going to review it with Sam coming up in just about 10 minutes. But he does confirm in the article, as ESPN reported last week, that Kuminga and his camp turned down the Warriors' two-year $45 million offer and the team option, which may have signaled more of a willingness to sign the $7.9 million qualifying option. And they've described that as a quote, nuclear option, primarily for the Warriors. But plan A at the moment for the Warriors to shut down communication with interested teams en route to convincing Kuminga to take this current deal, which would keep them below the second apron. Plan B, the Kings and the Suns' ideas, according to Amick, are not cutting it. The Suns and Warriors did not progress in any serious talks. So while it's notable, the report that they'd offered Kuminga 4 years at $90 million, it's, quote, irrelevant so long as the Golden State Warriors continue to show zero interest in what the Suns have to offer. The best offer on the table was reportedly Royce O'Neal, Nick Richards, and 4 second-round picks. Now, for the Kings, who spoke with the Warriors earlier this week, according to Amick. They offered Kuminga a three-year, $63 million deal in a proposal that would send veteran guard Malik Monk and the Kings' 2030 first-round pick lottery protected to the Warriors. That would require the Warriors to move salary elsewhere to stay under the first apron. So perhaps Moses Moody or Buddy Hield would also be going out. Those protections have been the primary sticking point, according to Amick, as the Warriors have insisted that the first rounder be unprotected, thus the stalemate. The floor is yours, Shasky.
I mean, I don't even know what you want me to... which part would you like me to respond to? The unprotected part? Like, no, we want the pick to be unprotected. So
it sounds like the Warriors turned it down because... And I do think that Moody and Hield, and we can get into this with Amick too, might also be a part of it. But it sounds like the sticking point is whether or not that pick was protected.
Yeah. If you're bringing back Monk and he intends to play here... Yeah, Moody or Buddy would probably have to go anyway, right? Like, that would be my perception of that. Monk, the ball sticks in Monk's hands. He's a dribbler. He's a scorer, though. Like, he is a scorer. He's a very high-energy-like player that mm-hmm. I think can bring a lot to the table. He doesn't solve some of their issues, though. Like, he gives more shooting, which they do always need more shooting, right? But, like, he doesn't defend on the perimeter. He's not really like a guy that's going to set up others per se. Puts a little pressure on the rim. Like, I like Monk as a player. I do. I'm intrigued by him. I don't think he's the end-all be-all, and I don't know if he necessarily solves things. I keep coming back to this. Do the Warriors even want Jonathan Kuminga? I don't know. Like, they send...
I think they do.
Okay.
I don't think that he wants them.
Well, that I agree. No, I agree with that point. I think it's clear Kuminga doesn't want to play for them, which I understand.
Yeah.
But I guess I'm coming down to, I get mixed signals from the Warriors. Do you want him or do you not want him? Oh, we want him at the right price. We'll move him at the right price. And it's just like, I just feel like we've gone through this charade of, we like him a little, but not enough. But too much to want to deal him, but not enough of that deal. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, I think they just have to make a decision. Like, either you want him or you don't want him. And you're either going to have to lose a little on a trade if you don't want him, or pay a little too much and sacrifice maybe acquiring someone else because you do like him. Like, it's one or the other. Either you're losing on one end or you're losing on another end, but you're probably already going to lose.
Well, I think that's becoming increasingly clear. I think you're spot on. They're going to have to sell.
I sound so confused.
No, they're going to have to sell. I think we're all confused.
I mean, like, the whole thing, I'm just, I'm twisting myself into a pretzel trying to figure out, like, you ever watch Back to the Future?
They're going to have to take the Duvall deal.
Do you ever watch Back to the Future?
Yeah.
Okay, number three.
Marty McFly.
Number three, there's this whole thing like, this is the point of no return, meaning the train is pushing the DeLorean because the DeLorean doesn't have tires and they don't have the nuclear fusion power to get it going 88 miles per hour. The only way they can do it is on this train track. And this train track runs out of room, okay? And so either... you're going to go into the future and go back to where you came from, or you're going to die in the ravine.
I'm going
to
get real dorky here.
I know. Okay, maybe this is such a dated reference. I love Back to the Future. It's one of my favorite trilogies ever.
It's,
I know,
Back to the Future.
Some people don't like
it. One of the better trilogies out there.
Right, but they have this sign, the point of no return sign.
Yeah.
And I feel like we've already crossed the point of no return. Either we're heading into the future with Kuminga, or we're crashing into the ravine and we're trading Kuminga and we're probably getting pennies on the dollar. It's like one or the other. And I think they got to just kind of pick a lane here. And look, if you want to reintroduce Kuminga into the locker room, you might go into the future and Biff is running a casino and he might be dating your mom. You know what I mean? Or you might just go into the ravine. I know that. Yeah, I know.
Sorry.
It was one
these
of
are actually pretty good references. I'm not going to lie.
What?
No, they're all deep cuts. I just, in the way you're using them.
Back to the Future on you. Or like, or you're going into the ravine. And it's like, yeah, we're taking Devin Carter and someone. Look at, you're laughing. But it's like, what are the options? What, like, honest to God, you're going to lose no matter what. Either you're tempting fate by bringing him back on a qualifying offer and he's frustrated and you're frustrated and you're just, you're doing a science experiment, seeing if it doesn't bubble over. Or You're taking less on a deal. It's like all of these options, there's like degrees of losing. You've already lost. It's how big of a loss are we taking?
Yeah, and that's why I think that this is is the next step in the negotiation.
I sound insane.
No. It's, look, the first deal that the Kings offered the Warriors was Devin Carter, Dario Saric, and a first.
I don't want Saric.
No, I don't want him either. But
I don't want those guys.
My point is, this is a better deal than that. Now, they're still turning it down.
I agree. But it's degrees better.
But that's how you know that this is, I think it's trending towards them eventually trading him. The question is for how much.
Exactly. I agree. He's made it clear. Like, I think we all agree. He don't want to play here anymore.
No, I don't think he does. And that's why I would not bring him back, because I don't think you can have a player, specifically in a year where Steph Curry, Jimmy Butler, and Draymond Green might be close to the end. Like, you can't have a player on the team that you could risk messing up the season for, especially that player ain't even starting. But
that's a great point.
The what I'm gleaning from this, and again, we're going to talk to Sam Amick coming up in about 5 minutes here, but what stage in the negotiation is it now? Is it getting close? Does this signal that the Warriors are willing to play a little more into the hands of the Kings? Do they not want a player like Malik Monk at all? Because I think that's another thing I'm curious about. Do they not like the archetype of player?
I was surprised they flat out said no to Dylan Brooks. Because that was reported that they basically said, like, they have no interest in Dylan Brooks because he would have been part of maybe conceptually some hypothetical trade deal. That's just one of the million Brett Siegel tweets that I've seen, where it's like, the Warriors have no interest in Dylan Brooks. Like, and I don't even know if it's true. I don't know what's true anymore, okay? And
that's,
I know,
fair.
Sam Amick is extremely respected and credible, and he's getting, like, real information. But I'm just saying, there's so much misinformation outside of him. I don't know what's real, what's not. I'd consider Dylan Brooks.
I would too. I think that's the best player that I've heard of among all of these deals.
But I don't even know if that's real.
I'm not sure it is. But we're going to try to get to the bottom of it with Sam Amick coming up here in just a moment, who again wrote an article in The Athletic that came out about a half an hour ago about the next stage of this Jonathan Kuminga cycle, according to the Jonathan Kuminga crisis. What is happening right now? The Warriors have turned down an offer from the Kings that would involve Malik Monk, a 3-for-63 deal for Kuminga, a protected first-round pick. The protection appears to be a sticking point. Moody, Hield might have to be in the deal. We're going to try and flush this all out with Sam Amick coming up in just a little bit. The Phoenix Suns have a 4-for-90 offer on the table. The Warriors aren't interested in what they have to offer. What's going to happen next? Is the return enough? Are we close to a resolution as we move just about a month away, or 2 months away, pardon me, from the qualifying offer deadline on October 1st? All right, all that is what's coming up in the game, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Shout out to everybody watching on YouTube, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. We are coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk Righteously Brewed in San Francisco. Evan Giddings in for Joe Spadoni alongside Joe Shasky. The Athletic, Sam Amick, coming up next on The Morning Roast.
Kuminga Crisis!
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The protection appears to potentially be the issue. We're going to get down to the bottom of it with Sam in just a moment here. This is the next step in a potential resolution. And they have between now and October 1st, a $7.9 million qualifying offer is technically still on the table for the for Kuminga and his camp. I personally don't think the Warriors can afford to let it get there, but we're going to see how this thing plays out. It's been quite some time, and we are trying to get to the bottom of it. And we will right now on the River Islands guest line. All guests on 95.7 The Game come to you courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Evan Giddings in for Joe Spadoni alongside Joe Shasky. We now welcome Sam Amick of The Athletic to the Morning Roast. Sam, good morning. What's going on, man?
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for having me.
Well, obviously we just got done sort of going through your piece, but you know, if you could sort of sum it up for our audience in regards to the next stage, it sounds like, of the negotiations between Jonathan Kuminga, the Sacramento Kings, the Phoenix Suns, and what has led to, as you've described, sort of a stalemate between the two sides. What is it, the latest on Jonathan Kuminga and a potential resolution here?
Yeah, I mean, the main thing I was trying to offer clarity on is it hadn't really been known exactly what the Kings were putting out there in terms of an offer and why the Warriors, you know, hadn't bidden on it just yet. And so that's, you know, Malik Monk, you know, who's obviously a pretty darn good player, a guy who was in the Sixth Man of the Year running not too long ago, and who, you know, until this recent front office regime change was kind of seen as part of their future. Malik and a first round pick that eventually got to a place where it was 2030 lottery protected. You know, the Warriors, as has been reported, you know, ESPN had this part first, is like they've reached the stage where they seem to be done talking about signing trade scenarios. They're telling teams that, you know, all right, we can't get to a middle ground here. And honestly, it really feels like the Sacramento thing has been a whole lot closer than Phoenix. You know, my understanding on the Sun side was that, you know, that the Warriors look at their roster and just really don't see much that gets the job done as far as an, you know, executable sign and trade scenario. And that part's interesting because Phoenix is offering a whole lot more money and years than the Kings are for Kuminga. You know, Sacramento's coming in with 3 years for $63 million, and the Suns reportedly are four for 90. So everywhere you look, to your point, there's just obstacles, and I think we're back in a holding pattern for the moment.
So do you get the sense that this might have been the best deal on the table? But I mean, from your prerogative, for all parties involved?
Yeah, I do. I mean, and honestly, I don't want to get this part, you know, kind of strike the wrong tone, but I'm not trying to indicate that it's close at all. The Warriors have not, you know, they've characterized it as not being very close with the Kings. But, you know, hypothetically, in my mind, if the Kings were willing to budge on the protection, so the first discussion was the 2031 first round pick, and the Warriors would get the least favorable of the Kings or the Spurs first rounder. Warriors didn't want that. So then they talked about 2030, and if the, you know, and that's lottery protected. So to me, if the Kings down the road came off those lottery protections, you know, maybe did top 12 or kind of, you know, budged a little bit from there, does that change it for the Warriors? And then the other, you know, element that has got to be accounted for is that the Warriors, to do this deal, would have to move off of either Moses Moody or Buddy Hield. And my understanding is that, that there's avenues for them to do that. You know, as far as appetite, I don't know how they see. I mean, you know, you guys know, like, Buddy had some incredible moments in the playoff run last year. And so I don't know, as far as just their preference, how they see that. That's another complication. But you know, I'd see more of a pathway to that deal than any other. And to your question, yeah, I think that's the best thing out there as far as what I know.
All right, so I just have to come out and ask, like, directly. Do you get the sense Jonathan Kuminga just does not want to be on the Warriors at all?
Yeah, I think that's pretty evident. I mean, you know, he's talking about or signaling that he's potentially willing to pick up the qualifying offer, which is, you know, about as dicey a move as you can come across in today's NBA. And, you know, if you break down the math and you start talking about $7.9 million, you know, versus the 21.7 the Warriors are offering him to stay, it's tough for him to make that up, you know, in his next contract. And I think speaks volumes about how he sees that situation. He wants control, and he wants, you know, his freedom. But that's where restricted free agency is challenging. As far as, like, just take the contract and the money aside and the mood, I mean, that part, you know, like, we know the backstory. Steve Kerr is somebody who has obviously at times been frustrated by the limitations in Jonathan's game, and it's pretty evident that the Warriors are willing to move on. The thing that they are trying to salvage here is that they really need that salary slot. You know, there's only so many ways for them to meaningfully add to this roster and try to continue the Steph, Draymond, now Jimmy Butler era. And if Jonathan takes the QO, then you're pretty limited when the February trade deadline comes around as far as, like, picking up real impact players. So, I mean, they're trying to thread the needle here, and that's where it goes back to the staring contest.
Gotcha. We're chatting with Sam Amick of The Athletic, senior NBA writer, who wrote earlier this morning essentially why Jonathan Kuminga and the Warriors remain locked in a stalemate. New details have come down about the Suns and the Kings in regards to last week's reports. Sam, from the Kings' perspective, this is, I'm with you, the best offer that we've seen so far. Do you think the Kings would be willing, and I know the Warriors have said publicly that they've shut down sign and trade talks, but do you think that the Kings would be willing to go any further, perhaps in regards to another player? The Warriors have been rumored to like younger pieces they want to build around, a Keegan Murray, a Keon Ellis, or do you think Malik Monk is the best, sort of the highest that Sacramento would go?
So it feels like the focus for the Warriors, I mean, for one, I was actually told that Keegan and Keon have not even been discussed, for what it's worth. And then on top of that, the Warriors' focus seems to be on the pick. And it does seem to feel like, you know, I mean, if the Kings went, you know, the Warriors' request is then go completely unprotected on the 2030 first rounder. And I think if the Kings obliged, then it feels like that deal would get done. And so it feels like the focus is more on the pick than it is them trying to get any other young prospects from the Kings. And the Kings are, it's funny, because as a team, they're not in a great spot, obviously. They've got this roster that they've got so much work to do. But the leverage that I do think they have is that Scott Perry, their first-year GM, he just got there. And his owner knows that it's going to take him a minute. And so I think he can have patience and prudence and tell the Warriors genuinely that I don't need to make this deal. You know, I'm going to go ahead and keep trying to chip away at this roster and do things over the course of time. They see Kuminga as somebody, you know, who I think certainly would get the fans excited about another young prospect, and they're all in on the idea, but only to a certain point. And it does feel like they're willing to walk away, which, you know, certainly the Warriors wish was not the case.
Sam, if this trade did consummate, if maybe they come off the protection, maybe the Warriors gave in, like, how do you think Malik Monk would fit with the Golden State Warriors?
I mean, I like it. I like Malik's game. It's funny. Last season, after the Kings traded De'Aaron Fox to San Antonio, you saw the limitations in Malik's game because they put him in the primary point guard spot. And you know, he's a fantastic playmaker, but there's just something that didn't work about it. You know, you just don't want, I don't think Malik being the number one guy at that spot. The Warriors landscape is so much different where, you know, you talk about him being complimentary, but being dynamic and not being asked to do some of the things that were outside of his skill set like he was last year. I mean, the guy can light it up. You know what I mean? He just absolutely can light it up. And if you even compared, like, let's say that in the Warriors front office, it was a Buddy versus Malik comparison. You know, I mean, Malik doesn't shoot the lights out quite like Buddy does, but he can shoot that thing. And he also, in an ISO setting, just when you need to give Steph and Jimmy, you know, a break offensively, I mean, he's dynamic. I mean, I've seen him win games for the Kings. You guys remember in the playoff series between the Warriors and the Kings, Malik had some amazing games. Yep. So basketball-wise, I think it could be fantastic. And then you add that to a high level first, like it's a pretty decent offer that again, you know, I could see transpiring in an actual deal down the road.
What do you think the Warriors want? And not necessarily just the front office, like the high paid players on the team and the head coach. What do you think their preference is in this entire scenario? He signs a 2-year deal or whatever was on the table, takes the qualifying offer, or they just move off him altogether?
I think there's a level of frustration that he won't just take this deal because, you know, I mean, even with Jonathan's social media post yesterday where he's talking about how he's going to bet on himself all day, like, it's not as if, I mean, I understand you're not getting the contract you want, but your starting salary with the Warriors would be $21.7 million. That's a heck of a pay raise from before. And while it does come with the type of restrictions you don't want, team option in the second season, the request to waive the no trade clause that would be part of it, like, it's still, you know, a pretty decent NBA salary for a guy who is continuing to try to prove himself. He's not an established guy in this league. We just, you know, he has moments, and but it's been fits and starts. So I think their preference is for him to do the deal because as much as it does appear that they like a player like Malik Monk, you know, the February trade deadline could bring other scenarios, other opportunities that might work even better. And it leaves the Warriors with that flexibility and that salary slot to go shopping, like for a big number and a guy who can make an impact.
The last couple of years with the Warriors, you know, just stuff has happened regarding money, extensions, etc. And it's really the drama has carried over to the court, and it's been a net negative, I think, and everyone would agree. And you've covered the game, this league, this team for a long time. What does it look like with Kuminga at any salary being reintroduced back onto this team? Not that he's the bad guy. I'm not trying to make him out to be. I'm just like, how does that play out in a locker room coming back, given everything that's happened this offseason? Can everyone just play nice and move forward, or will there be lingering effects?
So, I mean, my feeling is I think the players can, but man, there's just a lot of scar tissue between the coaching staff and Jonathan. And especially, I thought about this last night as I was writing this piece. Like, if he takes the qualifying offer, you know, I know fan and media-wise, we're guilty of glossing over, you know, like, oh, because they make so much money, they're not as human as everybody else. But think about the human factor and going to work every single day, knowing that you just took the option that jams up your employer strategically in a pretty major way.
Yeah.
And you are compromising your own security in a pretty major way at the same time. I mean, that's a calculated risk by definition. Like, from a work comfort environment type standpoint, that sounds miserable to me. You know what I mean? Like, it just sounds like I did this because that is the strategy, but now we have to live together and work together. And I say live together because these guys are, this is not a 9-to-5 deal. These guys are together all the time. So does that, you know, like, how does the coaching staff use Kuminga if he's on the qualifying offer and there's maybe hard feelings about him taking that approach? You know, just what is the vibe? What is the mood? I could see it impacting, you know, what they're trying to accomplish for sure.
Chatting with Sam Amick here on the Morning Roast of The Athletic, senior NBA writer, wrote this morning about Jonathan Kuminga. More details coming out in the negotiations and really the stalemate right now. So with everything that we've learned and what you've added to in the last week, Sam, do you get the feeling that this is a resolution that's close to happening? Or do you think that this could be a situation? It doesn't have to happen. It can take it all the way up until October 1st and potentially with the qualifying offer. Do you think it ends up being an 11th hour situation? Or do you think with the details that we've gathered over the last week that we could come to a potential close sometime soon?
Yeah, I mean, as of today, it feels like we might be in this thing for a while longer. I mean, there's nothing to apply pressure right now. I mean, all the uncomfortableness that we just highlighted doesn't exist until training camp. Yeah. And so on Jonathan's side, on the Warriors' side, you know, they can just kind of sit there. You know, they can go on vacation. They can do their thing. They can be in the office and hope that time and the pressure that comes with it changes leverage, changes the stances on each respective side. I mean, even on the Kings side, you know, their attitude at the moment, even though the talks have ceased for the time being, is, you know, well, if you call us in mid-September and you feel differently and you want to do something different, then we can pivot. Like, nothing changes between now and then. So, honestly, I think it might wind up being a closer to camp type of thing.
So, if you had to guess, I mean, we're just educated guess, how does this play out?
On the Kuminga side, it does seem clear that he has a level of interest in playing for the Kings. So that obviously matters. But, you know, if the Kings were the ones offering the 4-for-90 deal, then that would push things maybe even a little farther in that direction, but it's not. They're actually the one coming in with the more measured approach. So that leaves me kind of thinking, all right, Jonathan is not going to push, you know, as aggressively for that scenario as he might otherwise. Then, you know, in terms of like his level of willingness and comfort to go put a Warriors jersey back on again, I mean, that part I just can't speak to. You know, we see the messaging and we see the tone, and you hear plenty of things behind the scenes about how frustrated he is. But it's also the only NBA environment he's ever known, and maybe he reconciles the idea of let me go in and you know, show Steve that I can do it and show the league that I'm worth a whole lot more. So it really feels like an absolute could go either way situation. You know, I'd be surprised if Phoenix happened. I'd be surprised at this point if any, you know, I mean, there's other teams at times that have been mentioned, Chicago and even Charlotte, things like that. It feels like we're kind of unofficially down to the Warriors or the Kings, and I really don't know which way it's going to go.
Sam, thank you so much for your time. I know you're a busy guy, and we really enjoy your work, and really appreciate you taking some time out for us this morning.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Sam.
Sam Amick, The Athletic. So, we remain in a game of chicken. I mean, that's really what this is. Like, both sides know that the this is the way that I read it. Both sides do not want the qualifying offer. That's what I believe. I think that Kuminga is willing to take it, but doesn't want to. And the Warriors cannot afford to have him sign that qualifying offer, because that would completely dismantle all possibilities of upgrading this roster through him. And it would create a completely, I would go as far as to say, toxic situation come training camp. Maybe not with the players like Sam mentioned, but certainly between JK and the coaching staff.
This has just been a crazy, crazy... the whole thing is just... It's kind of a headache, is it not? Like, just for everyone involved. If you're a Warrior fan...
I mean, I think it's fascinating, to be honest.
Well, that, but has this not been, like, stressful and annoying? For all... I'm not even blaming Kuminga. I just say everyone involved. When you're going through the same thing, will I, won't I, do I, do I not? Do I like you, do I not like you? You should play, you shouldn't play. Like, we've just been yo-yoing. Everyone has been yo-yoing around. There is blood on everyone's hands.
100%. No, if he signs that qualifying offer, the Warriors have botched this. It could be Kuminga's choice.
Mm-hmm.
People could blame him. That's on the Warriors. Like, they let it get to this point.
I agree.
We have a detail and a report from Sam Amick, who we just spoke to, that the Warriors turned down a trade that would bring back Malik Monk and a protected first rounder. So if they let him sign the qualifying offer and he walks for nothing, then that's what you left on the table. And I'm sorry. Like, that may not sound like a ton for a lot of people. I think Malik Monk would play well here. Plus, you're also, and this is another thing that I I would like to bring into the focus. If you brought in Malik Monk, you sign Al Horford and DeAnthony Melton, that's a pretty decent offseason.
I would agree.
And here's the thing. If you bring Kuminga back, you risk messing up your locker room. He risks missing out on a lot of money, and all because both sides are just pissed at each other. Like, it's a lose-lose situation if he signs that qualifying offer.
I will defend JK in that I don't feel like the Warriors have given him many options, though. Right? I mean, like, they've told him through playing time and through specific things they've said to the media how they feel about him. So, like, I'm not picking a side, per se, in this one, but I do understand where he's coming from.
Kuminga?
Yes.
Yeah, 100%.
But at the same time, I just feel like...
I think both sides are equally culpable in this.
I put a little more on the Warriors because you got to have a feel for what... Like, if you know you're married to Dre, Steph, and Kerr, and like, if that's what you know, then what you build around them, like, that's on you. You know what those guys need to be able to highly function. So you've had multiple years. Like, Draymond signed his extension how many years ago? Three off-seasons ago?
Yeah, 23.
So you have multiple off-season, multiple trade deadlines to kind of figure out what you want to do with JK and carve that role out and either endear him to you or you to him or to assess what he is and say, yeah, we need something different. Like, to me, I put a little more on the Warriors. Not that JK deserves, he hasn't played well when asked. He hasn't done the little things that they were looking for to earn more playing time. Like, he has many things he's culpable of. But, like, when you're running an organization, it is up to you, ultimately, to understand the wants, desires, feels, and what people are able to and able to not come to grips with. And then you have to look down the barrel and find out what is coming down the line. That is your job, you know? And I think the Warriors really botched this on a variety of levels. JK did too. I'm not to deny it. But it's kind of like everybody made their bed and now we got to lie in it and no one wants to.
Well, they've clearly mismanaged the situation, but it's also because no one knows what this guy is going to... No one can figure out what he is. And this isn't just a Warriors problem. Like, they probably should have the clearest picture because he's been in their building for 4 years. But there was an article written by Fred Katz of The Athletic a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was last week even, about, he pulled 16 executives and said, what should Jonathan Kuminga make? What is he worth? And there was about 16 different answers. Like, nobody can figure out what he is, what his potential is, and that's why as much as the Warriors have had first crack at it, clearly everybody has a different idea about him because no one knows. He hasn't contributed enough to winning. He hasn't been given the opportunity to to contribute to winning. And when he has, it hasn't worked. And that's on the Warriors. But then Kuminga hasn't played well. Like, we're at a stalemate because no one can figure out, no one can make a determination about this player after 4 years. And it's on him as much as the Warriors. That's how I feel.
Yeah. Knowing what the CBA is, that's your job. Right, to see, and I know it's an intricate, nuanced, ever moving, ever evolving target, right? Especially in this modern, updated CBA. But that is up to them to like see this coming and understand, like, hey, if we get to this point where they are right now, you're kind of screwed. So, like, in this hypothetical, if they do end up having to trade him away, and they have to surrender Moses Moody, or let's just say, I'm going to use Moses Moody as because of it. I mean, it's a masterclass in how to kind of depreciate your own assets on the floor, value wise, assessment wise. Like, you've had 4 years. If it was like a year or 2 years, I'd hear you. 4 years?
6,000 minutes played, too.
Which I think is like still way, way less than Franz Wagner and all the other guys. Jalen Green, the contemporaries from his class.
Yeah, Wagner started 250 games in the NBA.
Yeah. No, I'm just going overall minutes. I did the minutes thing a couple, like, he's been hurt too. That's another thing with the Kuminga thing. Like, he has a couple of, like, this year he had a big injury, but the years before he had a couple of, like, 2 week misses that have really done him in terms of minutes logged.
Well, and that's what, like, I think the Kings like him because he fits into what their plans could be. Scott Perry's a brand new GM. Yeah, he says, I'm okay with losing for a couple of years. I'm okay trying to figure out if this kid's got anything. But there's no incentive for another team to give up anything of value. That's
I agree.
I'm going to be honest. I don't think that Malik Monk is a perfect player. And I don't think that the offer that the Kings gave the Warriors is incredible. Doesn't knock me off my chair whatsoever. However, it is the best offer that has been on the table for this player. They've offered Devin Carter and Dario Saric. The Suns have offered Royce O'Neal, Nick Richards, and 4 second-round picks. If you don't think that it's going to get any higher than that, that's a deal you have to take at this point, because I think we're all in agreement that if he's on the team next year, it's not going to turn out well for either side.
Well, no, yeah, I mean, look.
Like, his days as a Warrior are... He's telling you his days as a Warrior are done.
Yeah, okay.
He does not want to come back here.
Let me ask you this, though. It feels that way right now. I won't deny it at all. And I feel that way as a Warrior fan. I'm like, I don't think you can reintroduce him into the locker room. There have been many times in sports where there were guys I wanted moved, gone, said they could never come back. And not only did they come back, they came back with a resurgence. Barry Zito. We all wanted him DFA'd after 2011. Everyone. Even if long stretch to 2012. And found a way to, like, salvage what little he had. And next thing you know, boom, you needed him, right? Jimmy Garoppolo. How many times did you think the Shanahan and the Niners and Jimmy had to have a divorce? It was obvious. Obvious. They all hated each other. And you kept coming back, kept coming back, kept coming back. Alex Smith with the organization forever. I'm not saying that they can't all, like, I don't know if everyone can. But sports does have a way of sometimes surprising us. Maybe they can all thread the needle, Ev. Maybe they can. Maybe they can all play nice. I don't know. I don't think...
Well, look,
I don't think it's cast in stone is what I'm getting at.
No.
I know, look, on the outside looking in, it's like there's just no way you could do this. But sometimes sports happens, and I do believe they all need each other more than they want to admit.
We got Bonte Hill coming up in just a couple of minutes. He's going to join us courtesy of the River Islands guest line.
I'm going to go all guru on you on this one.
Okay.
Rolling Stones has one of the great songs of all time. You can't always get what you want. Oh, look at Carter producing. But you get what you need, all right? And I feel like all these parties involved, like, I know they don't want to. They have to bite their lip and begrudgingly buy in. They need each other. Like, they all need... I don't know how else to say it. I know it feels like they're at an impasse and there's no way of reconciling. I felt that way many times, and in many times, people are 100% right. Is there a way that everyone can just come back to the table, smoke the peace pipe, and we're good?
Well, we got someone on the line, I believe, who's very capable of answering that question. Before we get to him, though, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports Station, and home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. What? Always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. And right now, courtesy of the River Islands guest line, all guests appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the...
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more.
Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.